All right. I want to invite you to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to begin looking this morning at this idea of what community is. We talked about this a little bit, baby dedication. It was almost a precursor to this message. And so I want to kind of go back and look at this. Just in general, there are communities, not church communities, but communities all over the place. You may be involved in a community, a group, if you will. You may be involved in something, what are some groups? There are bowling leagues. People do bowling leagues. Groups where you cut and you design papers with pictures. What do you call that? Scrapbooking. You may be involved in a scrapbooking group. Oh, groups of all sorts. Groups of all sorts of groups. And those basically are little communities. That basically you're coalescing. You're coalescing because you like bowling, you like scrapbooking, you coalesce because you like muzzle loading, whatever that is. You like that stuff. It's old reenactment stuff. Okay, that's all great, and those are great things to do. You ought to do that. You ought to have social networks, and that's good. All good things. The coffee's still hot. I'm trying to drink it while it's hot. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. All those things bring together people that are different in all sorts of different ways. But what you have in common, is muzzle loading, bowling, scrapbooking, and that basically is the commonality. Okay, does that make sense? And so the church is no different. But what makes church community, what makes church community different and unique from all other types of communities is that church community is supernatural community. In other words, what orients us is not something horizontal, it's not something temporal, it's not something fleeting, it's not something that doesn't last forever. What church community does is it brings together people of all different types and stripes, and people that look different, people that are different, people that act different, people that that have different likes. But what they have in common is Jesus. Does that make sense? And by the way, and I think it's important to say, as I wrote this down because it's this is important concept as we talk about this message. If this is what I wrote, if we build a church community on something other than the gospel, if we build church community on something other than the gospel, then we compromise God's purposes for the church. If we build, there are a lot of churches built on things other than the gospel. Just because we're gathered together does not mean that what we all see in common is the gospel, and that's what unites us. There are plenty of churches in America, and I'm not talking about different religious churches. I'm talking about plenty of Protestant churches that the thing that brings them together is not the gospel. And what happens, and you can build churches like that. You can build churches that the thing that people like is this or that or the other thing. And the thing is, that's dangerous because if you're coming here and the relationships that you have are built on these other things and not the gospel, then that compromises the purpose of God that we have here. Does that make sense? The thing that makes this unique and supernatural is that we're gathered together for the gospel by the gospel. And all that means, the gospel meaning, that Jesus died on the cross for me, that I trust him, I trust Jesus for my life, and that commonality and the depth that brings me into the richness of what I find in Jesus. That is what brings us together. And so what we talked about several weeks ago, a couple months ago now with baby dedication was this concept, this principle that I'm going to piggyback on now. And that is in Ephesians 2 in particular, Paul is making this tremendous case that something that frankly I did not understand the force of this like I'm beginning to understand a big point that Paul is trying to make here, that he uses this. He says, Jews and Gentiles now are one. This is the idea. And this is the big truth, is that somebody that you can't get more different than Jew and Gentile. Particularly in that day, 2,000 years ago, Paul is talking to a people, a Jewish people, that had all this baggage, all this history, all this stuff that was theirs, uniquely theirs, right? They are God's chosen people. And they viewed Gentiles as heathen, as unworthy, right? And now all of a sudden, Jesus comes in the picture and Paul begins to plant churches and he's trying to teach his people, hold on. What is vastly different on paper in Christ is the same. On paper, we can say, yeah, there's a big, big difference between that person, the Jew, and that Gentile. But in Christ, the power of the gospel is such that the gospel, Jesus brings two groups like that are so different, diametrically opposed, and bring them together as one new thing, as one new creation. That's a powerful thing. Now, we can apply that here, that the difference between a Jew and a Gentile is so vastly different. It's more vastly different than any difference that we have in this room. The most vastly different person, two people in this room, are not as vastly different as the differences between a Jew and a Gentile. And so I like this contrast, the Jew and the Gentile. Basically, it's such a broad difference that Paul is saying, listen, everybody's equal at the foot of the cross, and there's no differences here. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's kind of a review of what we had talked about a couple months ago. Now, we build on that. We build on this distinction, and we look at this passage here, verse 16, chapter 3, the book of Ephesians. Paul says that he would grant, he's praying, he says, I bow my knees before the Father, verse 14, verse 16, that he prays that God would grant, that Jesus, he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. I've underlined that. This is a side note. This is an extra. This is an extra. Put this on the side for a minute. This is just an extra piece. This year in 2019, this is a good prayer for you, that God strengthen you in the inner man. There could be plenty of people that want to, as a goal in 2019, to be healthier. I want to be healthier. There're going to be people in this room there're going to be women in this room that put more time and energy putting on makeup to look good on the outside than you will put time and energy into your walk with God this year. But hold on. What about the inner man? What about the inner man? But there are going to be more. There are going to be men potentially in this room that are going to go to the gym and work on the outside exterior. You're going to put more time and energy into that than you will on strengthening the inner man this year. I would say that's a problem. That's a big problem. That was a side note. All right? That was free. You know what I'm saying, Christian? Free, that was yours just for free. All right, so underline that as, Lord, help me to be strong in the inner man. Help me this year to be strong in the inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, this is important, that you being rooted and grounded in love. What does supernatural church look like? One that is one that is wrapped up and defined by the gospel of Jesus. This is what we're going to hone in on this morning. It's rooted and grounded in love. And verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth. Now, we're going to talk about this. What is the breadth? What is the breadth? That's how broad it is, and the length, and the height, and the depth. We're going to talk about what that means. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. A supernatural community is grounded and built in the gospel, and it's going to play out in a certain way. But notice verse 18. They may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. So you have the gospel. So you have the gospel. The gospel impacts the church. It impacts something about the church. And Paul's saying it impacts it, how broad it is, and how deep it is. I want to look at chapter 2. And I want to give you a thought here. Chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through him we have our access in one spirit to the Father." May I suggest that what we're reading here is something that Paul builds on in chapter 2 and 3, and it kind of summarizes what Paul just says about what is, how broad the gospel impacts and how deep it impacts. I think that verse 18 is talking about the depth of impact, the depth of impact. Okay, so we have the gospel. How deep does that impact us? It impacts us deep. In other words, it's pervasive. The impact that the gospel has on the church and on you as an individual is all-consuming. It reaches every part of you, so much so that we have our access in one spirit to the Father. What Jesus did on the cross through the Spirit gives us access to God. So now we are completely immersed in God. Can you see? That's deep. It's pervasive. It reaches every nook and cranny, every cell in our bodies. The fact that we're believers should impact all of us. The impact that it has is deep on us. It is life in Jesus. In Christ, we are in Christ. We have access to the Father in the Spirit through Christ. Okay, the impact that this verse has is profound. The fact that you're a believer means, if you're a believer today, means that in Christ we have access to God. We are in Christ. And the Spirit and Christ and the Father all are playing this interplay in us in order to work out godliness in us. And that's huge. That's huge. This should impact every part of your life, every crevice, every cell in your body should be changed, should be different because you're in Christ. That's deep. Okay? That's deep. Now, the gospel also impacts the breadth. How broad is it? Well, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. Now, Paul is talking to Gentiles. He's talking to Gentiles who were not in Christ, who had no access to God. They weren't Jews, but now in Christ, they have access to the Father. Does that make sense? So he's talking to Gentiles, and he says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Okay, what is that? That's breadth. How broad does the gospel impact? Well, it impacts this much that, again, we said it before, that Gentiles now, anybody, this is broad, anybody, as far as you can see, everybody can fit into the body of Jesus. That's broad. Do you see, does that make sense what I'm saying? It's broad. The impact of what the gospel means is broad. It's not limited to Jews anymore. It's broad. And what you used to be, because nobody here is a Jew. Anybody in here a Jew? Okay. Apart from Jesus, if it weren't for Jesus, we'd be on the outside looking in to a family unit called the Jews, called the family of God, called the children of God. In Christ now, we're not on the outside any longer, strangers and aliens out there looking all weird, not part of anything, just strangers wandering about. Now we are in, we're no longer strangers, now we're family. We're family with God. And we're family with one another. All kinds of different people all together now. All kind of different people. I mean, you talk about different. There are people in here. I'm not going to point you out. I could not be more different than you. You know people in this room that if it were up to you, yeah, you probably wouldn't hang out because you're just different. I don't know. That person's just different. Hey, you know the good thing? It's that difference in Christ still makes you family, and you can still love that person. The difference is good. The difference means the difference, and that we love one another despite our differences means that it's supernatural, means that God's doing something in us that gives us a love not common. So we'll go back to chapter 3. So then verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. This is important. You have an obligation today in a healthy supernatural community called church to love people that the only thing you possibly could have in common is the gospel. Does that make sense? You have an obligation to love people. But see, I think that supernaturally what's going to happen is if it's real, that you're going to do that by the Spirit of God, and it's going to work. You have an obligation to love people that are so different than you, and the only thing that you possibly have in common is the gospel of Jesus, and that's plenty. And so what we have is this interesting thing that Paul says in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, notice this, being rooted and grounded in, you being rooted and grounded in love. You being rooted and grounded in love. So, okay, so the gospel sets, the gospel is the commonality. That's the thing that drives this thing. Jesus loves me enough. Now I'm in Christ and I'm totally in Christ. I mean, that is deep. It's pervasive. It's impacting everything about me. That gospel has changed me. Life in Jesus has changed me. Now I'm rooted and grounded. Now that reality has grounded me in something that is fundamental to God, because God is love. It's fundamental to who He is in life in Christ. Now I'm rooted and grounded in love, and that impacts the relationship I have with you and you and you and everybody in this room. It totally impacts everything. Now that deep, that depth of reality of what God has done for me reaches not just deep, now it reaches broad. Now it reaches and it grounds me in love such that I love people that are totally, totally different than me. And I've found that in our church, I actually was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was, but I was talking to somebody not too long ago. I said, man, it's just weird. God's bringing people that are so different. God's bringing people that are so different into the church that there's not a lot of common ground with some people. And so we actually make conscious efforts. Hey, you ought to connect. Let's try to connect that person to that person. Maybe they'd get along. And that's healthy. I'm not saying that's bad. But here's the thing. I love that it's different. That's a good thing. I think we need to see more economic diversity. We need to see more ethnic diversity. Because all that will prove the love of God working through us, that we love one another despite our differences. That is what community is. If we're not a community based on what Jesus did for us and the reality of the gospel in our life, then we're no different than the Rotary. Good as that might be, the fact is it's not supernatural. It's natural. It's not supernatural. What's supernatural is the gospel. And so the way that supernatural community should work supernaturally. And so, well, what's that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit's going to come down. We're going to see all kinds of signs and miracles. Oh, okay. Well, maybe. But what it means is that here's where the rubber meets the road. It's supernatural community. Does that necessarily mean that God's going to come down and heal sickness? It might mean that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. But it necessarily means that we're going to love one another. Because you don't see that kind of love outside of the walls of supernatural community, where you love people that aren't like you. That just doesn't happen unless it's supernatural, unless it's founded on something big, unless it's the love of Christ being shown through us. That's when it becomes supernatural. The way that you can tell that it's supernatural is this, the love that we have for one another. And so Paul then... Is everybody following me? I feel like I'm losing people. Everybody here? Yes. This is important. It's an important message. It's foundational to the way we want to think through church in 2019 and moving forward. It's foundational to something that's heavy on our hearts, and that's that we build relationships with one another, not because we have a lot of things in common with people, but because we love them, because Jesus loves them, because the gospel's working in them, because the gospel's working in us, and we have a union together because we're family in Christ. But there are a lot of churches that do things a lot of different ways. But I tell you, there are a lot of churches that aren't supernatural in this way. We need to be. Are you following this? This is important. Listen, if we're going to have a community that works, a church community that works and thrives, it can't be built on anything other than the gospel. That's what will make it supernatural. And so that needs to get deep into you, what God has done in your life. So we have a responsibility to disciple you so that that reality is deeper in you, so that this plays out better, not just in its depth, but in its breadth. And then he says, verse 19, and to know, this is fun, I love this, and to know the love which surpasses knowledge. Now, this is not the love we were just talking about, which is horizontal, the way that Christ plays out in us to others. This is now the relationship, the love of God that we're starting to get to know. And to know the love of Christ, this ultimately is the goal, that we know the love of Christ. This is a paradox. This is a paradox. Remember what a paradox is in your English classes. It's something that it's obvious, but it shouldn't be obvious, but it doesn't seem like a contradiction. How in the world can you know the love of Christ, which surpasses or is unable to be known, surpasses knowledge? In other words, it's surpassing knowledge, so how can you know it? But Paul says that something that surpasses knowledge, you should know. Well, in the flesh, it surpasses knowledge, but in Christ, it's not surpassing knowledge. We need to know the love of Christ deep down in us, and that love is not everyday, it's not common, and is unknowable apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, then it becomes knowable. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all. I love that. Filled to the fullness I love that. Filled to the fullness of God. And the problem with our church is, I can say this without throwing stones. I can say this 100% as a conviction. The problem with our church is not that that person doesn't get along with that person. The problem with our church is not that we're not doing this or doing that or whatever you may have if you had a list of five things. The problem with our church is, can you receive this? I'm saying this. I'm going to love you enough to say something. And you're going to love me enough not to be offended. The problem with our church is that there's a lack of, this is across the board, this is the problem with Jesse, is that there's a lack of being filled up to the fullness of God in us. When there's a problem, it's because it's more of Jesse than there is Jesus. When there's a problem, it's more of you than there is Jesus. That's a problem. It's a basic fundamental thing. Are you filled up? And that's what we said, strengthening the inner man. That's a goal. Is that the inner man be filled up to the fullness of God. That you are the kind of person that is like Jesus. We're going to deal with this year in some deeper sort of ways. But for now, I'll just leave that there. This is a goal. Are you going to be filled up, or strengthen the inner man, filled up to the fullness of God? All right, now what's this mean? So supernatural community. Is everybody following the what Paul's saying here? I want to invite you to John, the book of John, John chapter 13, I believe. Yeah, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. So, okay, again, supernatural community. It's built on the gospel. It's built on the gospel, that pervasive message and reality that I am in Christ, that God has done something for me, that I have a new reality, that I'm a new creature in Him. I'm going to go back. You don't have to go back, but in Ephesians, for through Him we have both our access in one Spirit to the Father. You're no longer strangers and aliens. This is a new reality that we have become. No longer two different things, two different groups of people, all one now in Christ. That depth of reality changes things. Supernatural church built on the gospel changes the way that we deal with one another, the love that we have one another, but it goes a step further. So Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to be leaving soon. And this is a commandment for you. It says, little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Well, God, the Lord is not here. We're waiting on his eventual return. In the meantime, this is a new commandment. Verse 34, a new commandment then I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's a new marching orders for this new messianic community that God has developed together, right? Okay. A new marching orders for us. This is not new, but it is new in how Jesus is saying it. There are several things. I'm going to have time to deal with it, but this is unique in its command. But here's the reality. Notice that he says, verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So part of the compelling nature of the church to the world, part of the compelling nature of the church to the world is looking at us expectingly. They are looking at the church to see what we do. They're looking at the church to see us mess up so that they can use it against us. Look how awful the church is. Look at how the church has the same divorce rate as the world. Look at that. There's not really much going on there. They use all of our faults against us. But Jesus says that the way that the world will know that you are a true follower of Jesus is that we love one another. So part of being a compelling community we're going to deal with what our church, what we should be doing relative to the streets in Tiffin. But here's the basic bottom line. The way that the world knows there's something uniquely different, the way that the world knows that there's some supernatural thing happening in church, in our church, in the church, is not that there are miracles and signs. Oh, look, something's really happening over there. People are getting healed every day. The way that the world knows that there's something significant about who we are relative to God, the way that the people know that we are God's disciples, is that we love one another. That's it. That's how the world knows. That's how the world knows. So when we attack one another, when we try to discredit one another, when we start pointing fingers at one another, when we do things in ungodly ways in order to try to smear one another, when we start blaming others, we start looking our nose down at others, all the things that aren't loving. What is love but 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient, love is kind, love, all that, all the things that we do. Love is not a feeling. Love is a series of actions, a series of ways that we manage to deal with one another, deep-seated. If we don't do that with one another, if we're not loving one another, then what in the world business do we have thinking that we have any real role out there to be compelling to people because we love them? Hold on. We're not convincing because we can't love one another. So we're trying to go out there and love the world, but we can't love one another. And the world absolutely picks up on that. We have to love one another in a compelling way. We'll say, what's a compelling way? Because we love. I love. I say it a lot. Maybe I say it too much. I love you. And I do. The genuinely, God knows, I love my church. And to that, I mean you. But what's that really look like? Well, Jesus says it in verse 34 there. He says it pretty clear. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? Even as I have loved you. Well, how is that? Well, pretty sacrificially. Pretty sacrificially. That means that the love that you should have for one another is not just, oh, I love one another. No, Jesus said it. This is how. You should love one another as I have loved you. Well, that's significant. That's a significant reality, because that means that you are loving people in a manner like Christ, sacrificially like Christ loved us, so that when somebody wrongs you, and somebody absolutely in this room will probably wrong you in 2019, and you will have some options. You will have some options to bear. You will have to say, I no longer want to be part of that church because that person treated me wrong. Okay, well, how about this? How about sacrifice the right that you might think you have to be angry and upset and to be able to exact vengeance on them by leaving, and you sacrifice that and you love them anyway? How about that? How about be sacrificial in that way? How about when that person says something that's slightly offensive, that you don't retaliate and say something back offensive, but that you say that you bless those that might hurt you? How about that? How about love playing itself out in sacrificial love, where you take the hit that you didn't deserve? You take, because Jesus took a lot of hits on the cross for us, a lot of bearing of sin for us that he absolutely did not deserve. So when you're wronged in 2019 and you're wronged in 2020 by people in this room, that the breadth of love that you have for them absorbs that, and you say, you know what? I've got to practice love right here where the rubber meets the road in real community. And I'm not going to bail on community because it's difficult. Because then when we do that, then the world says, well, so clearly the church doesn't work because they don't love one another. Clearly that just doesn't happen. Clearly it's not supernatural community. Clearly it was built on, I'm comfortable here because nobody's offended me. I'm comfortable here for my reasons, for my comforts, for my conveniences. The reason I'm here is not the gospel, something deeper than me. Paul calls it the bond of love elsewhere. Glue, super glue. So we're going to be able to love one another through tremendous difficulties. And listen, everybody, if everybody thinks that supernatural community is always clean and neat, no, it's not. It's going to be messy. 2019 is going to be challenging. You're going to be offended. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody in this room potentially will hurt you. Somebody in this room potentially will get you aggravated. Somebody in this room potentially will say something, do something that isn't right, that's a wrong against you. Absolutely. Listen, that's going to happen. And the thing is, you love them through that. You love them through that. You sacrifice. And you sacrifice yourself sacrificially. You love them sacrificially in the way that Christ loved the church, and in so doing, we prove supernatural community. We prove that what is happening here is not surface, it's not horizontal, it's not based on something that's passing and fleeting, it's based on something real and tangible, something real, Jesus, the gospel. We love one another. It's a privilege to live out Christ before a watching world. That's a privilege. But we do that in real life, in real space, with real people, in real community that's messed up and different. A lot of people that are different. We love people despite our differences, despite the challenges. We love people. I want to challenge our church right now. I really, something I've been praying about for several months about community and what that looks like, what it means, and the Lord's really shown me some things here that I frankly did not understand very well. And I think part of our challenge here is to love one another better. I really do. But for that to happen, the depth of the reality of who Jesus is needs to be pervasive in our lives. So in other words, we need to do a better job at discipling, at growing you up in Jesus. And you need to do a better job at growing up in Jesus. Does that make sense this morning? I trust that it does. I hope that you understand that the gospel has impacted us with tremendous depth and breadth, and that what that means for a community, building community, what that means is that if we're going to be supernatural, we've got to be grounded in the gospel, and we have to love one another. We must do it.